And the old man seen it all before. Shakes his weary fists at the night. If I had me my 30-06, I'd shoot me a satellite. If I had me my 30-06, I'd shoot me a satellite.
If I had me a 30-06, I'd shoot me a satellite tonight. That was From All the Boats Are Gonna Rise by Ernest Troost, who's with me right now. Good morning, Ernest.
Good morning, Larry.
So tell me, where did you drive from? I think you're originally from New Mexico or Arizona or someplace.
Oh, actually, I drove up from Los Angeles. I've lived in Los Angeles for a while, and I'm originally from Connecticut.
Oh, Connecticut.
East Coast, yeah.
I don't know where I get that idea, but, you know, that's what happens to people like me, you know, when we get old. And I know that these two albums I have of yours are at least relatively new for me. I think one of them is very new, but but you've been writing music for a long time.
Yeah, I've been writing music for film and television for, you know, 25 years or so, and didn't write songs for a long time. And somewhere in the middle there, I did a couple of albums with Judy Collins, and sort of reminded me how much I liked writing songs again. And then I went another 10 years before I started writing my own stuff and performing it. So the first album is about 5 years old, All the Boats Are Gonna Rise. And the new one is just literally November of last year is when it came out.
I know. I enjoy that. I don't know what to call it other than acoustic. It's kind of blues folk. It's really hard to describe, but I love what you do.
Oh, thank you.
Although what you've done for movies is probably a lot different than that.
It's completely different, which is why I went to this folk blues style. My music for movies has been mostly classical, in classical in terms of what film scores are, orchestral music. And, you know, I love writing for acoustic instruments, so generally have written for big orchestras with live, you know, real musicians, not a lot of electronics. And that entails a lot of people, logistics of just getting that done. And so when I started doing these songs, I wanted to make it as simple as possible. So I started listening to Mississippi John Hurt and Blind Blake and people like that who, from the 20s and 1920s, 1930s, who did the Piedmont-style stuff, and decided that I could just do the whole thing myself.
Every once in a while, I dig out this Etta Baker album that I have, and she's just a Delta blues-style guitar, and she was never allowed to leave her house. She always had to stay home, so they literally had to go to her house to record her.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe I'll get into some of that. I don't know. I thought it was just by coincidence, but I had put up Mississippi John Hurt to play after this live music is over, and it occurred to me as I grabbed it that you probably got a lot of your influences from him.
Yeah, I don't actually play any of his tunes, but I listened to a lot of them, and I just like the mood he created. It was, you know, with the finger-picking style. I'm not quite sure what style his music is put into, because it's not, strictly speaking, Piedmont. I think because he was sort of isolated, he had his own style. It's somewhere between Piedmont and Delta Blues that he does, which is completely unique, and he has that wonderful voice. It's just magical.
Yeah, it's like sitting on his back porch with him, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how about some live music this morning?
Sure. Well, I'm kind of inspired from being up in this, I guess it's a mining area. Is that what it was originally, this whole area up here?
Yes, absolutely.
I love the whole period of 1920s, 1930s when people were moving around the country and trying to find work. And I have this one song about the people who came and built the Hoover Dam, which kind of seems to fit into this whole period. It's called Traveling Shoes. I've been hearing Grandpa's ghost calling out to me, looking for that sweet land, California, where the honeysuckle blossoms tumble to the sea. Looking for that sweet land, California, where he walked out of Arkansas in 1934. Looking for that sweet land, California. Didn't want very much, just a little more. Looking for that sweet land, California. There's a sense of citrus on the breeze, and the land gets down upon its knees to touch the ever restless seas and wipe the slate clean. Well, Boulder City took him in with dust on his shoes, making for that sweet land, California. No need to worry, son, we got no union dues if you're making for that sweet land, California. Well, he helped out with the grading, and they asked him if he'd stay, making for that sweet land, California. Started up a family, put his traveling shoes away, and his thoughts of that sweet land, California. Carved the stone, lifted sand, we cut the steel with burnished hands, we run the water across the land to turn the valleys green. We're lying in the cool grass beneath the lemon sky, thinking about that sweet land, California. He said, I hope these shoes will take me to the sea before I die. Thinking about that sweet land, California. We took out those trusty shoes in the spring of 69. Thinking about that sweet land, California. We sat down on his front porch and said, this is where I'll lie with my dreams of that sweet land, California. We carved a stone, lifted sand, we cut the steel with burnished hands, we run the water across the land to turn the valleys green. There's a sense of citrus on the breeze, and the land gets down upon its knees to touch the ever restless seas and wipe the slate clean. Grandpa's ghost calling out to me, looking for that sweet land, California, where the honeysuckle blossoms tumble to the sea. Looking for that sweet land, California.
That's a song. I love the feel of that song. I heard you sing that down in Los Angeles. Just, it reminded me of how all those folks came to California and how it became okay to fail, whether you were a miner or a gold miner, and I think really began the spirit of, that is California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Los Angeles. I mean, this is quite a ways from Los Angeles.
It is. I guess it was about an 8-hour drive. About an 8-hour drive, I think, yeah.
This is the first time up in this area?
It is, and it's just spectacular. I just love it.
Yeah, what did you think as you drove up Broad Street in Nevada City?
Oh, it's just amazing. Just amazing. I just those are the kind of buildings and towns that inspire my songs. So to be surrounded by them is just amazing. There's a place here called, I think I saw it on the map, called Dutch Flat.
Yes,
Dutch
exactly.
Flats.
Mm-hmm.
That's a song. There's a song there, right there. I don't know why. It's just an evocative title.
And an interesting place as well, you know. There's not,
is it?
Yeah, also a mining community, as most of them around here, and hardly anybody left there. Just this big old hotel and a real quiet, small main street. But God, I can't wait to hear it.
Dutch. Yeah, I'll have to collect all these names from all these towns around here and see what I can come up with.
Yeah, the entire downtown here in Nevada City is a historical district, and that's why you'll never see any junk food or anything like that around here, and just a great place for a lot of live music and theater and great food, great restaurants, just a wonderful place to be, a great spirit in this place.
Oh, it just feels wonderful. This feels wonderful.
Yeah, you need to just walk up and down that street and create a few songs while you're doing
it. Yeah, yeah. I like the idea of writing songs that are sort of timeless. That's the other thing that I've tried to do with all my songs, is to make sure that they kind of have a timeless quality without being really old-timey completely. They might be set in various time periods, but I like to kind of somehow with the words of music evoke a early time, but also make it relevant to today.
Where do they come from, do you think?
I don't know. Talking about where songs come from is a little bit, you know, like telling people about your dreams. I don't think people really want to know. Especially a lot of my songs are pretty dark, and I think they just sort of, they just kind of come through, and I just, you know, take a hold of what comes through and try and rework it and refine it and turn it into a song. And I think I like dramatic stories. I think that's what really is the key to my songwriting. So consequently, there's a good amount of death and destruction in my songs because that's dramatic.
I know on this show I always strive to play songs that engage. That's the way I think of it. Songs mm-hmm. that have a story, songs that make you listen. Mm-hmm. You don't know what the next word's going to be. And I've, ever since last fall when we first met, I've been playing a lot of your music, and I'm going to continue.
Oh, thank you.
And we're hoping you'll do that again right now.
Sure, I'd love to play a song. This is a this is a story song. This is a song called Switchblade Heart, which this summer I competed in the, or actually last summer, I competed in the Kerrville Folk Festival in the New Folk Competition and won that. And this was one of the songs. Excuse me, I'm going to get some water here. This is one of the songs that I played at Kerrville. Frankie was a killer with a switchblade heart. He kept his enemies close and his edges sharp. There was a steel in his eyes, kept the boys in line. He kept his suits clean and his watch on time. Then he met a sweet girl from Tennessee. She'd come to work at the wartime factory. And she'd take his arm and they'd promenade down by the water near the old arcade. Well, it took him by surprise when he felt that spark. It was the first time she kissed him on the lips in the dark. And while he struggled to find the right words to say, she leaned close and she whispered in his ear, this way. Come on, baby, let's dance at the end of the old wood pier. No one would ever see us way out there. And I could show you how to move. Yeah, I could show you how to move. It was the boys down the joint who called him out. She jumped in between before Frankie could shout. And it all unraveled in the blink of an eye. There was a cough of a pistol and her mournful cry. Frankie put the boys in the ground that night. But ever since that day, Frankie ain't been right. He sits in a booth tucked away from the sun, and his suit is dirty and his watch don't run. Some nights after the town turns in, Frankie wanders down to where the story begins. And with a sliver of a smile and a far-off stare, he starts swaying to the music only he can hear. Come on, baby, let's dance at the end of the old wood pier. No one would ever see us way out there, and I could show you how to move. Yeah, I could show you how to move. Come on, baby, let's dance at the end of the old wood pier. No one would ever see us way out there. And I could show you how to move. Yeah, I could show you how to move.
Another good one.
Thank you.
Great applause from the entire audience. It's kind of quiet down here on Saturday morning, but there's a lot of folks out there listening, and we can count on that. You mentioned something just in a very low-key way that I think is huge, and that is that you won the New Folk Award down at Kerrville. What is it like to be at Kerrville? How big a place is that?
It's pretty amazing. I had never been there. And they invite 32 finalists to their competition out of the 800 who submit. They have 32 finalists, and you come down for the weekend to play your two songs. And it's I think they get about 5,000 people. It's goes for 3 weeks. It's the longest running, continuously running folk festival in the country. So I think like Newport might be had started earlier, but it's had years where it didn't happen. Kerrville has happened every year since it started. And it's a real big deal in terms of songwriting. That's what they emphasize there. So the 32 finalists perform their two songs for an audience of about, well, the stage we played was about 600 people. And there's judges, there's a couple of judges in the audience, actually three people, I guess, judged it. And then they pick six winners. So every year there's six New Folk winners. And then we got to do a concert. We each got to do a half-hour concert the next weekend. So we stayed the whole week and enjoyed unbelievable music. It was really amazing.
So it's not just like you mail in your music and they pick you.
Well, you mail in your music. What's nice about it, it's anonymous. So it's really judged on the music. You give them a CD that has no name on it. They just put a number on it, and your application has all your information on it, and they keep those separate. So the people that judge your songs are basically just judging your song. That's
wow.
So it's kind of a fun thing, and it's been good for me in Texas, because it's a very, very well known competition in Texas, and I've played a bunch of shows there since Kerrville.
Well, it's well known on this radio station, at least.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm just thinking of after that, then this anonymous submission that you're standing up there in front of 600 people, including judges, and being judged. That must be pretty exciting.
It is, except I thought I was going to be much more nervous, but you folk audiences are a certain kind of people, and the minute I walked out on stage, it just felt like you were in someone's living room, and everybody was very relaxed, and the sound system was amazing. So that always makes it easier. And so that was great. And then the next weekend I played a half-hour show and at the same place for about the same number of people. And it was great. It was just, they were so warm, and you could just feel that when you were playing. So that was really, it was just a terrific experience. And the other thing about Kerrville, which I don't know if this is probably not unique to Kerrville, but one of the things they're well known for is their song circles around the campfires at night, which I had never heard about. And somebody said, oh, you're going to love this because everybody gathers around these campfires. What no one told me was that those campfires don't start till 12 midnight, and they go pretty much all night long. So my wife and I were there for the whole week, and we went to one every other night because we just couldn't stay up long enough. But when you're playing songs at 4 o'clock in the morning around a campfire, it gets pretty strange after a while. It's just so sleep deprived.
And some good company too, I bet.
Yeah, there were a few times where I was playing at a campfire with about 10 people, and seven of those people had been main acts on the main stage during the week, you know, playing for like 3,000 or 4,000 people. And here we were just sitting around with guitars playing our songs. So that was really great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Rob Bonner, if you're listening, you might have to wait for your telephone to ring. So you were basically singing songs you wrote yourself to a folk audience, which Ernest knows and I know, they are people that actually listen to the music. That has to be pretty cool.
That is really cool.
So I don't want to put you on the spot here. I might be doing so, but that previous song that you did, you said that's one of the two that you submitted.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one? And you don't have to play it if you don't want, but I'd like to know what it was.
It was Resurrection Blues, the title track to my new album. Yeah. I'd love to play that for you.
It's okay with me because that actually is my favorite tune on that album.
Great.
I'm joined by Ernest Truce live here on Back Roads on Community Radio KVMR FM, Nevada City.
So this is Resurrection Blues.
Sitting in the dark, watching for a sign. My thoughts can hardly keep up with my restless mind. I've seen my future and my world has come undone. My gears are broken and my springs have sprung. I've slipped between the cracks of night and day into the twilight where the flickering pictures play. I got sand in my pockets and stones in my shoes. Play me some of those. Play me some of those, oh, resurrection blues. Well, I wonder how it all came to pass, how it all slipped through my fingers so fast. I could have been somebody if I was somebody else. Instead, I'm nobody but myself. I got criminal blood coursing through my veins. I got addictive tendencies circling my brain, waiting like a pack of wolves till I let down my guard. I'm doing my best, but I'm breathing hard. I got sand in my pockets and stones in my shoes. Play me some of those. Play me some of those old resurrection blues. Well, playing these blues will steal your health. But if God made anything better, well, he kept it for himself. There is no redemption, there is no sin. I'm just praying for a way out of this hole I'm in. Thank you.
Well, I rise up from the ashes of this noonday matinee, blinking hard in the bright, flat sun of the day. I leave the easy money in the basket by the door. I can't ever remember feeling so clean before. I got the path in my pocket and the future's in my shoes, playing some of those, playing some of those old resurrection blues, resurrection blues.
Interesting couple of words, resurrection and blues. Quite a different picture from each, but pretty good together.
Yeah, thanks.
Let it all slip through my fingers. How did that happen anyway?
I don't know.
That's what happens to life, you know.
That's what happens. Yeah, that's the song that gets a lot of reaction from people sometimes. I've had people walk up to me afterwards and just say, "That's my life." Which is kind of interesting because it's kind of a philosophical song that leaves a lot open to interpretation, I think.
I think that's one of the things I like about it. I've always liked songs like that because they're like telepathy, you know, something's coming from your head, but what's in my head is quite different, but good.
Yeah, that can be a lot of fun when you talk to people after a show or something and they pick out a particular song and tell you what it means to them. And it can be quite different than what I intended, and that's for sure.
That's the kind of connection that you would hope for, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
I don't know what it's like to write a song or what somebody thinks when they're doing it. Is it work or do they just come to you?
It can be work, but it's a lot of fun. So I can't really call it work. But, you know, the process of writing a song is, it's kind of tough to talk about. I can kind of talk about getting into the mood, playing some music on the guitar, maybe singing some ideas and finding ideas and getting that thing going. But then what happens is you sort of mentally find some kind of a thread musically or lyrically, and then stuff just kind of happens. And that's sort of a dark area. I don't even know what that's all about. But then at a certain point you have this thing that's sort of almost fully formed, and then you can kind of look at it rationally and kind of edit it. And that's the work part. Figuring out what you need and what you don't need. But that middle part is the gray area. And every once in a while, that middle part is the whole song writing experience, where you pick up the guitar, you start something, you have a little idea, and the whole song just comes right out and happens. And that's rare, but occasionally it does happen. Yeah.
Well, how do you know when you're done? How do you know when you're done with a song?
That's a good question. I mean, lots of times I'll work on a song and feel like it's about there, and then I just sort of, you know, I put it up on the shelf and leave it for a while and come back to it. And maybe I'll come back to it and say, no, that's not done. You know, that's not quite there yet. And sometimes it's obvious to me that it is. It's just sort of gravity or something. I don't know what it is. It's a kind of a, you know when it's done. And I have songs that I just can't get to that stage, no matter how much I've worked on them. I just feel like every time I pick them up and try them again, they're not quite there. Though Richard Thompson has said in an interview once that some of the songs that he felt were just not as strong as his best ones. When he plays them live, there's such a reaction, he realized, oh, that is a good song. I guess I did work on that long enough. And some of the ones that he worked on that are just, he thinks are perfect, nobody reacts to. So there's that element as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping as you were answering that question that you thought of another one that you'd like to play. Because I'd like to squeeze another one in if you're ready.
Yeah, I can do one. Seeing that this is Valentine's Day, this is not exactly a love song, but I guess it deals with love, so... Thank you. This is called A Storm Coming.
Gonna build me a castle out of mortar and stone. Blockade out of mastodon bones. We're gonna burrow down deep among the roots and the grubs. Keep my head down with the beetles and the bugs. Fortress out of rock and steel. With doors that bolt and windows that seal. Gonna build me walls about 10 foot thick. Out of old car chassis, barbed wire and brick. A storm coming, and she's gonna make a mess out of me.
Thank you again. That's a great song. Wow.
Thank you.
I hope that doesn't happen when you're on the highway, though.
Right.
And tonight, Ernest playing over at there at Evangeline's Music Cafe.
Right.
Not sure exactly what time it starts.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. The telephone number over there is 346-8833. If anybody out there is interested in hearing some more of Ernest, I expect there are. And thanks so much for coming in this morning. I know you've come a long ways, and we very much appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Larry.
It was my pleasure. And here's a tune from somebody that inspired some of Ernest's songwriting.